Pray for me.
Fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Thirty-first verse. It says, "And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken wherein they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were in one heart and of one soul. Neither said they any of them that ought the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had a common, they all had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought prices of those things that were sold. And they laid them down at the feet of the apostles, and the distribution was made unto every man according as as he had need." With a thought coming from that 32nd verse, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said of them that they ought the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." And this morning, that might be our prayer. As we find here that as we were talking last week, and we tried to, in our best way, bring it out how that the Apostle Paul, in the beginning here, we see the early church, and we see how that they were gathered together in the upper room, and how they were obedient to what God had told them. And I want you to understand that through the ministry of Christ and through the miracles that He was doing, that we read about in the New Testament, and has He been resurrected, and He had pulled His disciples, His apostles aside, and for 40 days had taught them and instructed them the things that pertain to the kingdom of God and those things that pertain to the Scriptures. And so He was teaching them, and He was guiding them, and He was helping them. And so we find there on the day of Pentecost, and as the Spirit of God came into that service as a rushing mighty wind, and we want you to know that when we begin to think about that rushing mighty wind, and we begin to think about that day of Pentecost, and how the Spirit of God began to move amongst those people, and how that the people were being obedient to what God was telling them, and they were following His Spirit, and how Peter began to speak in boldness, and how he began to proclaim the things that God had laid upon his heart. And he was speaking in tongues that he didn't know, and he didn't understand those languages, but yet God was able to take him and use him. And then as they began to preach, we know then that Peter and John, they was imprisoned, and yet the Lord was there. And we know several souls prior to this, some 3,000 souls were saved. And so the Lord had delivered them, if you will. That there was that man that was lame that laid at the gate called Beautiful. And so here it is, we find this young church, and they're beginning to move, and they're beginning to progress and to follow the Spirit of God. And here it says that they took those things, and it said the multitude that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And when we think about all the souls that we see and we read about that were saved, certainly there was countless souls that were saved. But when we read about it in that upper room, we find that there was just 120 of them that were gathered together. And my friend, there was a small number there, but that the church began to grow, and the Lord began to add to the church, and there were 3,000 souls that were saved. And my friend, today here, as this multitude began to understand God was moving in their presence, they began to be obedient. And then they began to say, "These things that we have, the Lord had need of them. Let's take them and use them for the advancement of the kingdom. Let's take them and use them that the Word of God might go out and be a help to somebody, that it might reach a lost and dying world." So they were taking those things that they had, their lands, their possessions, their monies, and they were laying them there at the apostles' feet. And the Bible says then, it says that they were one heart and of one soul. neither said them that the ought to things which he possessed was his own. He said, listen, these are God's anyway. If we're blessed with these things, it's because God has given them to us. Let us take them and use them for the glory of God. It said, but they had all things in common. And this morning, I want you to understand something. Though we might come from different backgrounds, and though we might have different customs and all kinds of things this morning, I want you to know that if you've been saved and been born again, and you've been baptized, you've been immersed in water, my friend, you're a new creature in Christ. And when you've been placed into the body of Christ, you've become a family. You've become part of God's family, you see. And see, we're a family here. We're a family. And my friend, when my family gets together, when I spend time with my family, it's comfortable to be with one another. And my friend, we're comfortable with each other. And we can be ourselves, you see. We can just be what we are. We don't have to pretend to be something different. Or we can just be ourselves because we're family. And my friend, when the church comes together and they worship God and they praise God and they worship Him, we can come together because we have all things in common. What is the most common thing that we have? Is the Lord Jesus. When we are the family of God, we've got Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we come together and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. My friend, without the Spirit of God, we don't have anything. And my friend, without the truth, we don't have anything. But together, my friend, we've got it all. We share what God's put on our heart. And we praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us in our life. And my friend, we've got all things in common. You'll find here an account of a man and a woman. It says, but of a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. She knowed what was going on. She knew exactly what his intentions was. She knew everything about it. All the others, they were taking and selling the land and taking the possessions that they had. And they were laying at the apostles' feet. But he took a piece of land that he owned and he kept back a part of that. And it says, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? And kept back part of thy price of the land, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, and thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And a great fear fell upon them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straight away at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear come upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I want you to know, my friend, this was a young church, and I want you to know this morning, listen, the Lord knows what's going on in our life. He knows everything about us this morning. He knows the direction that this church needs to go. He knows just exactly who needs to be here. And my friend, I know this morning that it's hard. And I know just as I was thinking about Brother Moran and his service and how many years, and I'm not trying to speak about that this morning, but I know he served here and he had a great love for this church. And my friend, I've got a great love for this church, but I want you to know this morning that God knows your heart. And He knows the intentions of your heart. And my friend, if I was to stay here out of the will of God just because I wanted to, it would not serve you. My friend, it would do you no good, you see. My friend, God knows our heart this morning. And if we're coming together and we're holding back because of what we desire, listen, God wants our all when we come to His house. He wants everything about us this morning. He wants every ounce of us. And I've preached it here multiple times. What if this is the last time we've got time to serve the Lord? What if this is the last time that we can sing about Him and His goodness? What if this is the last time that we can tell our lost loved ones what Jesus Christ has done for us in our hearts? Listen this morning, we can't hold nothing back. We can't hold anything back. There's a great price to be paid for holding back. My friend, no doubt, I realize this is a different circumstance, but they thought that they could just get by, just giving just a little bit. And see, Peter knew the intentions of their heart because God had let them know. But my friend, God knows the intentions of our heart this morning. He knows the intentions of our heart. My friend, if there's anything that I could ever more encourage this church to do, is to continue to serve the Lord. Is to continue to keep telling lost people about Jesus Christ. And don't hold anything back. Don't hold nothing back. But tell the world, just as this young church was just getting started, and the Lord was adding to them. And my friend, they was changing the world. They was going out telling people about what Jesus could do for them. They was telling Jesus about how Jesus had changed their life. And my friend, listen, though I may not be much, do you realize there's a world of people today, there's churches that sing it, that's changing the words to Amazing Grace, so they don't even have to say a wretch like me anymore? Listen to me this morning. I'm still a wretch. I'm still a wretch. My friend, I'm just a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God this morning. I'm just one that God is able to use from time to time. And my friend, this morning, my desire is that God might continue to use this church. We can't be a people that expects others to do things. My friend, we need to find our place. We need to find our place in the service of God. My friend, whether it's here, whether it's singing in the choir, whether it's helping on Wednesday nights with young people, whether it's helping teach a Sunday school class, whatever it might be, listen to me, you can reach somebody. You can help somebody. And you may not ever think that you help them. But my friend, someday down the road, that young person will look back and say, that person helped me. I had a high school teacher, and I wasn't very smart. And you say, well, preacher, that ain't changed very much. I wasn't very smart in school. I struggled in math. I struggled in everything, but I had this teacher. And that woman, instead of just pushing me off to the side, just giving me an easy grade, she worked with me. After class, she sat down with me. She said, tell me why you don't understand. I said, I just don't get it. And she spent time with me. And it was like she could see the diamond. And she just kept polishing that diamond until it shined. And my friend, that's what we are as God's people called out to do. We're to help somebody. And they might not realize it. I didn't realize it at the time how much that woman helped me. But looking back on it now, I love her because she helped me. You see? So often we're just looking for somebody else to take the responsibility. But we can help somebody. Help the lost. Help our friends, help our families. My friend, God knows our heart this morning. Listen, Ezekiel said this. Well, the Lord spoke it. In the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, in the 30th verse, he says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. He said, I searched for a man that would make up the hedge. Ezekiel pouring his heart out to Jerusalem, to Judah, pouring his heart out. He said, I sought for a man that would make up the hedge. He said, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap. And my friend, there's so many times, there's so many people not willing to stand in the gap. And there's people that's dying all around us that's going to hell. Will we stand in the gap? Will we fill the gap? My friend, let us stand and stand firmly for what Jesus has promised us. Listen, we are His bride. We are His church. Let us stand in the gap. No, you will not get past me. Let us stand in the gap. Oh, listen to me today, church. We're not taking our possessions as far as our lands and our homes, and we're not laying them down at the apostles' feet. But I tell you what God has asked from us. He's asked from us our heart. He's asked for our service. He's asked for us to take it and lay it at His feet, and then to be obedient to when He speaks to our heart. That's what He's asked.